नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 1 Chapter 5, Text 15, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON.
Jugupsitam dharma krite nushashata swabhava raktasya mahan vyatikramaha yadvakito dharma ititaratstito namanyate tasya nivaranam janaha. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Purport. Srila Vyasadeva's compilation of different Vedic literatures on the basis of regulated performances of fruitive activities as depicted in the Mahabharata and other literature is condemned herewith by Srila Narada. The human beings, by long material association, life after life, have a natural inclination by practice to endeavor to lord it over material energy. They have no sense of the responsibility of human life. This human form of life is a chance to get out of the clutches of illusory matter. The Vedas are meant for going back to Godhead, back home, to revolve in the cycle of transmigration in a series of lives numbering 8,400,000 is an imprisoned life for the condemned conditioned souls. The human form of life is a chance to get out of this imprisoned life, and as such, the only occupation of the human being is to re-establish his lost relationship with God. Under the circumstances, one should never be encouraged in making a plan for sense enjoyment in the name of religious functions. Such diversion of the human energy results in a misguided civilization. Srila Vyasadeva is the authority in Vedic explanations in the Mahabharata, etc. And his encouragement in sense enjoyment in some form or other is a great barrier for spiritual advancement because the people in general will not agree to renounce material activities which hold them in material bondage. At a certain stage of human civilization, when such material activities in the name of religion, as sacrificing animals in the name of yajna, were too much rampant, the Lord incarnated himself as Buddha and decried the authority of the Vedas in order to stop animal sacrifice in the name of religion. This was foreseen by Narad, and therefore he condemned such literatures. The flesh eaters still continue to perform animal sacrifice before some demigod or goddess in the name of religion, because in some of the Vedic literatures such regulated sacrifices are recommended. They are so recommended to discourage flesh eating, but gradually the purpose of such religious activities is forgotten and the slaughterhouse becomes prominent. This is because foolish materialistic men do not care to listen to others who are actually in a position to explain the Vedic rites. In the Vedas, it is distinctly said that the perfection of life is never to be attained either by voluminous work or by accumulation of wealth or even by increasing the population, but it is so attained only by renunciation. The materialistic men do not care to listen to such injunctions. According to them, the so-called renounced order of life is meant for those who are unable to earn their livelihood because of some corporeal defects or for persons who have failed to achieve prosperity in family life. In histories like the Mahabharata, of course, there are topics on transcendental subjects along with material topics. The Bhagavad Gita is there in the Mahabharata. The whole idea of the Mahabharata culminates in the ultimate instructions of the Bhagavad Gita that one should relinquish all other engagements and should engage oneself solely and fully in surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. But men with materialistic tendencies are more attracted to the politics, economics, and philanthropic activities mentioned in the Mahabharata than to the principal topic, namely the Bhagavad Gita. This compromising spirit of Vyasadeva is directly condemned by Narada, who advises him to directly proclaim that the prime necessity of human life is to realize one's eternal relation with the Lord and thus surrender unto him without delay. A patient suffering from a particular type of malady is almost always inclined to accept eatables which are forbidden for him. The expert physician does not make any compromise with the patient by allowing him to take partially what he should not at all take. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that a man attached to fruitic work should not be discouraged from his occupation, for gradually he may be elevated to the position of self-realization. This is sometimes applicable for those who are only dry empiric philosophers without spiritual realization. But those who are in the devotional line need not be always so advised. Before this, Narad was praising Vyasadeva. Ato maha bhaga ava namo gadrik suci shava satyarato dhridavrataha. He said that you are a very great personality, you are fortunate, your vision is spotless, your fame is spotless, you are attached to truth, you are fixed in your vow, you have so many good qualities. Therefore, you should praise the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Urukrama. In this verse, Narad describes the Supreme Lord as Urukrama. He performs very great activities, so you should praise him. That should be the subject of your writing. So first he's praising him, and now he's saying, "What you've done, you've made a big mistake. You wrote all these books. You see, can you imagine? He's on so many volumes. 17 Mahapuranas he's compiled to date, plus other Puranas, Upapuranas, the Vedas, the Upanishads. Now it came and said, you really, what you did was terrible. Shouldn't have done it. Just like one scholar was introduced to Prabhupada, that he was told he has written a book about Krishna. It took him 18 years to write. Prabhupada said, and still is full of so many mistakes. He said to him on his face, still you have said made so many mistakes. So Narada is saying the same thing to him. That yes, you're a great personality. Yes, you're very fortunate. Yes, you're qualified in so many ways. But what you did was just off track. So for you it's even worse. If someone is qualified and he does something, if you see someone, he's not educated or he's from a low-class background and he behaves in a bad way, then it's almost expected. But if someone is from a very good family and well-trained and he is acting in a wrong way, then that's more despicable. Someone who doesn't know or who's been brought up in a bad way, then if he behaves in a bad way, that's not surprising. Just like in the Western countries, if people eat meat and drink wine and do so many things, then that's the Western way of life. They don't know anything else. They don't think it's sinful. But if someone in India, especially from Brahmin family, if they perform these activities, then it's most despicable. Jugupsitam, verily condemned, this word is used. There's some very, in every language there are some strong words. Jugupsitam, right? In Gita also, Krishna uses the word jaganya. It means very bad. Jaganya gona vritista adhoga chantitamsa. Those who perform abominable activities in the mode of ignorance, they fall down to the lower species. So now Narad is, first of all, he praised his disciple. Yes, you're very good. Now he's giving him the sauce, as they say. Getting on his case. Telling him. That's the job. That's the duty of a guru. He's not just to praise the disciple. You're so wonderful. We see so many bogus gurus. They'll simply praise the disciple. The disciple will praise the guru. And the disciple will give some dakshina. And the guru will give blessing. You earn more money, give me more dakshina. And feed him, and he's very content. And like this, life goes on. Practically, people, they don't want real guru. They want a guru who can bless them, for increasing their sense gratification. Someone who will cut. Sadhu means who will cut. Just like Prabhupada has written here, you shouldn't compromise. Vyasadeva had a compromising spirit. You compile all these literatures. Now I said, no, no. See, Vyasadeva may be thinking, I compiled so many literatures, I'm so wonderful. Now it said, no, you're a rascal, fool, what are you doing? Because the people in general, they have that spirit to enjoy, and you're encouraging them in the name of religion. You see, so many bad things go on in the name of religion. That's one reason why atheists, one of their arguments against religion, you see, so many bad things go on in the name of religion. So most of the wars in history have probably been fought because in the name of religion, jihad, fight for the sake of Islam. Come preaching. One hand is a book. You want to take what's in this hand? Otherwise you take what's in this hand. Sword, chop off your head. This is one method of preaching. We don't do that. And in the name of religion, it's all going on in the name of religion. Priti vite jato kichu dharma nama chale bhagavata kahitaha paripurna chale. That's Bengali verse, derived from this second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. That what's going on in the name of religion all over the world, it's all simply cheating. That's all. Chal means some kind of device to mislead others. And just like I was quoting the other day, L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of the Scientology Church, said that if you really want to be a millionaire quick, you should found your own religion. And he did it. He became rich. It works, you see. You don't need to go all this trouble studying at bids and working hard. You just become a guru, that's all. You become God. You definitely get someone to follow you, I guarantee. Someone will take it up. God in the street, and of course, if you're good at talking nonsense, that's also helpful. If you can talk some educated sounding nonsense, that's also helpful. I mean, there are so many beggar sadhus on the street. They also get their chapatis, but they're not much better than the dogs running in the street. They're all tattered, and they just get a few chapatis, and just like people throw stones at the dogs, people just go, ah, take chapati, go, get out of here. Yeah. So there's, but if a successful sadhu, he will speak some eloquent, elegant nonsense, and tell a few jokes, you see. And it all sounds just like this Chinmayananda. He used to speak. People would go and say, oh, excellent speaker, such a good speaker. And what did he say? I don't know. So, such a high standard of English, and couldn't understand anything. He's a very good speaker. You see, have people laughing and joking. So this is all in the name of religion, going on in the name of religion. So Vyasadeva, of course, he's not such a cheater like that. His motive was not to cheat. But he made some compromise. That you want to enjoy, all right, perform some sacrifice. And you will get more facilities to enjoy. Or perform some vrata. There are different kinds, just like chaturmasa. You perform, there are so many benefits. If you follow this, you'll get immediate, just like by taking no salt, you're supposed to get a good voice. And then by different things, you follow this and you follow that, and then you will be elevated to higher planets in the next life. Be a brahmachari, follow brahmacharya. You see, in your youth, you should follow brahmacharya, and then later on, when you get married, you can enjoy more because your body is healthy and strong. Or if you follow all your life, you can be elevated to the heavenly planets. And then you can enjoy the apsaras there. You see? And now you'll be a brahmachari and later you enjoy like anything. So this is all enticing people. You follow moral principles. Be good. Be nice. And later you can enjoy more. So this is called Pravritti Marga. There are two paths, the Vedic path. Pravritti Marga, Vivritti Marga. Pravritti Marga means the path of regulated enjoyment. Because anyway, people have the propensity, they want to enjoy, but the Pravritti Marga of the Vedas means to enjoy under Vedic regulations. So at least you don't enjoy unrestrictedly. There's some restriction. Nivritti Marga means the path of renunciation. So actually the Vedic knowledge is meant for leading us towards the path of Nivritti, of cessation of material activities. But people in general are less intelligent, therefore Vyasadeva has compiled the Vedic literature and says, "Think that's very good. I perform some sacrifices and go to the heavenly planets, I can enjoy more. That's very good. But to perform this sacrifice, I have to be, you see, I have to follow celibacy for so many days, and I have to give charity to the Brahmins, and like this." So this regulates people and makes them pious. But still the idea is there, the enjoying spirit. As long as the enjoying spirit is there, then people remain trapped within the material world. Then we may say, then what's the ultimate benefit anyway? Actually, there is no direct benefit. The only real benefit is that by performing these things, one can come in contact with Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. Just like if you perform a sacrifice, then who is Yajnapati, Yajnabhuk? Who is the master of the sacrifice and who is the enjoyer? Even if you're performing any sacrifice to the demigods, Shalagram Shila must be there and must be worshipped first. Because the demigods, they cannot accept anything on their own behalf, but they have to accept as a representative of Lord Vishnu. So then one may come to understand that, or even you see, just like Smartha Brahmanas, they also know that they have to recite in their rituals, so many rituals. Part of that is they'll recite the names of Vishnu, just like Vishnu Sahasranama, and they say the best method for removing all sinful reactions is to chant the name of Vishnu. Of course, it's not the proper way to just like I'll perform sinful activities and then Vishnu, Vishnu. It's not the very proper approach, but there's some consciousness of Vishnu is there. And then by performing these pious activities, they may come in contact with the Vaishnavas, just like you're told. You should respect sannyasis. Generally people think it's a pious activity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That's an example. Bhagavat Sapta. People organize Bhagavat Saptas. They don't want to go back to Godhead like Parikshit Maharaj, but they think, let me hear and I'll get some pious result. So mostly these Bhagavat Saptas, it's all cheating, that's all. Who's speaking is simply some kind of quasi-spiritual entertainment. Quasi-spiritual entertainment. The people come and they go away and their life goes on just as it was before. Their life doesn't change. And they all concentrate on all the nice leelas of Krishna, just as stealing bhata or dancing with the gopis. You won't hear so many verses. There are so many verses in Bhagavatam which are stressing on the miseries of material life, how we have to surrender to Krishna. You see, Shukadeva Goswami, when he met Parikshit Maharaj, he immediately, if you see, Shukadeva Goswami begins speaking at the beginning of the second canto, you find it. Immediately, he's very strong. Shrota vyadini rajendra nunam santi sahasrasam apashyatam atma tattam griheshu grihamedina. Immediately says, we're not going to hear, we're not going to speak all nonsense. The common people, they have millions of things to talk about. But they're simply blind to knowledge of self-realization. They're simply attached in their materialistic family life. So in this way, immediately, just don't be attached. You've come here, you're sitting on the bank of the Ganga, don't let your mind go. Now you've come here. Now just understand. Just sit here, listen. Hear about Krishna. So they don't, you've seen these Bhagavad Sapta speakers, they don't speak all these things. Pungsastri, Amitani, Bhavanitam, the cause of bondage in this material world is attraction between male and female. They're not going to speak these things because then no one will come to hear them and they won't get any pranami. And then what's the point? You know, I went to all the trouble to speak and then, you know, all the people all ran away. So they want to, in the name of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, they want, which is meant for the topmost benefit, they want to cheat people. And you'll find this kind of speaker, lakhs of people will come. Because they want to be cheated. And who's actually speaking Bhagavatam, they won't entertain. So very few people will come, because people are not serious. But anyway, I'm just giving an example, the injunction is there, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So even if people go with some pious motive, they may, even without desiring it, come to hear some bona fide speaker. Or they're enjoined to serve sadhus. So a sadhu, he may, from the householder, he may take some bhiksha, some food, some milk, but he'll give something also. Sadhu is not meant for taking just whatever he needs. He's meant for giving spiritual knowledge. So even if people don't want it, he'll give it to them. Just like you may have seen that film, Prabhupada arrives at one airport, and the newspaper reporter is just doing his job. He's not interested in Prabhupada. What have you come here for? I've come to teach you what you have forgotten, God. Prabhupada immediately preaches to him. Another time that Prabhupada gave a press conference at Philadelphia, and then he was walking down the concourse in the airport, and one TV reporter came, he missed the press conference, so he comes running up with the other man running behind with the camera. So they come, and Prabhupada's walking. And they just stop in front of Prabhupada, immediately gets all the mic and the camera, and then reads this and says, is your movement Hinduism or Buddhism? So Prabhupada immediately, he said, we have nothing to do with this ism or that ism. We are teaching the absolute truth. And if you want to be benefited, you should take it also. He didn't answer in a stereotype way, just like the man just doing some job. Today, you see, 9 o'clock, have to see Swami Prabhupada at the airport. 10 o'clock, this, that, but he got up late, so he came late. But Prabhupada immediately preached to him as a person. He didn't just see a newspaper reporter, preached to him as a person. So that is the nature of a sadhu. He cuts through the maya by speaking the truth. So that is the benefit of Vedic civilization. That people may, they're told you have to respect sadhus. And one thing it saves you from fall down. And it prepares the consciousness to be more inclined towards Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, in itself, there's no benefit. Also, one may get agata sukriti, unknown pious activities. Just like, for instance, someone plants trees. It's a pious activity to plant trees, because the people will get some shade. You plant trees along the path, so when people are walking from one village to another, they'll get some shade in the summer heat. So that's a pious activity, to plant trees, because it helps people. So people may plant trees, they're thinking that, well, if I plant so many trees, then I'll get some pious benefit and I can enjoy more heavenly delights in future. So they're doing it with a selfish motive, actually, planting trees. Although this kind of activity, digging wells, planting trees, feeding the poor, all this kind of thing, even though people do it with a selfish motive, either they will be praised by others for being charitable, or they will get some pious result in the future. But that, at least that teaches not to be grossly selfish. At least instead of doing everything directly for yourself, do it for others. But the real benefit will come if you see, they planted the trees, and maybe the person who planted the trees already died, and 100 years later the trees are still there. And a devotee is walking on that path. He's a devotee, he's going from village to village to preach Krishna consciousness. So the person who planted that tree, he gets the pious benefit of the devotee going. So that's in relationship with Krishna consciousness. So So he gets some pious activity which is in relationship with Krishna consciousness that purifies his, even though he doesn't know his consciousness is purified. He may, the spirit soul in the form of a dog may take some prasadam. He doesn't know he's taking prasadam, but becomes pure. Spirit soul gets some purification which is conducive towards Krishna consciousness. That's called bhakti-unmukhi suprati. Ordinary pious activities, they cannot help one to become Krishna conscious. That Krishna consciousness cannot be attained even after millions of years of performing pious activities. Digging wells, performing sacrifices, giving in charity. But if there is some connection with Krishna, that kind of pious activity, then a person's consciousness becomes attracted to Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, Yeshang tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam tevandva mohanirmukta bhajante maudiravataha. Those whose sinful activities have ceased, those who are free from the reactions of sinful activities, and who have performed pious activities in previous lives and in this life, and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage in my devotional service with determination. So that pious activity doesn't mean opening hospitals and schools and Biela's opening the Biela Institute of Technology and Science, and building a Saraswati temple, which no one goes to. And Saraswati is not teaching technology and science. This is called Yantra Vidya, in the Vedic knowledge. That's actually meant for the demons. It's not meant for godly people. That's a department for the demons. So Saraswati has got nothing to do with this. Saraswati is playing a veena. Not that you see they have some... Of course, yesterday I heard they're playing Prabhupada's. But they have this kind of filmy bhajan. It's like a crossbiz. You listen to some bhajan at the same time you enjoy the filmy style of music. There's nothing to, it's not, nothing to do with Saraswati. So there's not... You see, dealers, they can do, they can open millions of bits all over the country, but that won't make them devotees. Or they can, just like these big industrialists, they think, I'm doing so much good for the people, I'm opening so many factories, employing so many people. But this is not, this won't give them devotional service. But if someone does some pious activity in relationship with the devotees, then he gets some benefit. You see, when Prabhupada was having that first preaching center of Krishna conscious movement in New York, it was in a very bad area. Even now it's a bad area. So some bums, that's in American English, bum means someone who's down and out, derelict. They're just drinking all the time. Brain is gone because they're always drunk. So Prabhupada was giving a lecture and one of these bums walked in and talked some said something incoherent, as they do because they're intoxicated all the time, and put down some toilet paper and then walked out. Prabhupada said he has begun his devotional service. Not that Prabhupada uses toilet paper. That's, you see, toilet paper, that's another nonsense. Smear your stool all over your backside and then you don't take a bath, and even, you see, they don't even wash their hands. So they have no idea. Pravritim cha nivritim cha janana vidarasura. What's the next line? Janana vidarasura nasatyam nashocham. They don't know what is cleanliness, or proper behavior, or what is truth. So lack of cleanliness, that is symptom of the demon. They don't know what is to be done or not, what is not to be done. Janana vidarasura. And they're not clean. So they brought the toilet paper. You see, no use for them. And still Prabhupada accepted it. Then he accepted it, all right. This man has got no way to be purified. He's absolutely at the pits of human life. Just constantly intoxicated. I mean, even in terms of Western civilization, which is not civilized, but even in their terms, these people are not civilized. So how, what to do? He gave a toilet paper. All right, I accept, even though you have no use for it. Because that means that person will make some spiritual advancement. Prabhupada, when he was there in New York, and so many people used to bring, here's some food, something they cooked at home. Prabhupada would accept it. Later, there was one girl, she later became Prabhupada's disciple. She said, I don't think Prabhupada ever ate it, but he took it. He accepted it. He didn't reject it. So that this way, the Vedic civilization has some use. But if people remain stuck up on the platform of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, then they cannot achieve the actual goal of life. So, pravritin sarvabhutanam, nivrittistu mahaphalam nanu. He says that this pravritti marga, everyone is attached to that, but actually, nivritti marga, the path of renunciation, that can give you the actual fruit of the Vedas. The fruit of the Vedas is Krishna consciousness, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpataram galitam phalam. There are so many fruits. Prabhupada calls karmakanda fruitive activities. You're doing it to get some fruit. I will perform some pious activity and I will enjoy the fruits of sense gratification later. But the ripened fruit or the real fruit of the tree of the Vedic knowledge is Krishna consciousness. Nigama kalpa. Nigama kalpa means, nigam means the Vedas. Kalpa means a desire fulfilling tree. By following the Vedas, what do you want? You want to be Indra? You want to be Brahma? There's a process. You want to be Brahma? You can become Brahma. There's a process. You have to follow it. It's not easy. There's only one Brahma among unlimited living beings in each universe. But there's a process. You can become Brahma. You can become Indra. You can go to the heavenly planets. You can go to the hellish planets. The Vedas give direction. If you want to go to hell, it's, you just eat meat, drink wine, all these things, you can go to hell. So, how to do everything. You want to become expert architect or musician. All these things. Happy family life. Everything is described. How to rule a kingdom. Everything is described in the Vedas. Nigama kalpa taru is a wish fulfilling tree. Whatever you get, you can get. But what is the ripened fruit? Nigama kalpa taru galitam phalam shukamaka adamrita java samyutam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, desire fulfilling tree. And it has become even sweeter after being relished by Shukadev Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Vyasa to Shukadev. He taught that to him. But then Shukadev added his own realization. It became sweeter. Krishna consciousness is already sweet because it's, as the subject matter is turned over by devotees, it becomes more relishable. So this is the actual point of the Vedic knowledge. Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasamalaya Mohoraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavaka. To taste the bhakti ras. Everyone in this world is interested in some enjoyment. Vyasadeva was encouraging them in the name of religion, but the real enjoyment and the real purpose of religion is to taste the bhakti ras. So that only comes after, that comes after surrender. Sometimes our devotees are very interested in ras. They want to become prematurely rasik bhaktas. But Srimad Bhagavatam begins where Srimad Bhagavad Gita leaves off. So Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives his final instruction, Savadhaman Pritadya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Surrender to me. If we should surrender to Krishna, then bhakti ras will come. Not artificially. No surrender, only nectar. That's all. I want to enjoy Krishna consciousness, but no surrender, no control of the senses, no control of the mind, no hard work. Then you don't get bhakti ras. Then you get what appears to be bhakti ras, but it's simply some manifestation of the external energy. That's another kind of cheating. So, Narad Muni is recommending you glorify Krishna and teach people to surrender to Him. Then your purpose of being Vyas will be fulfilled. And he will elaborate on this further as he is doing so throughout this chapter. A little over time here. You have any question? What are you saying?
What is surrender?
What is surrender? The definition of surrender to Krishna is given in one verse in Hari Bhakti Vilas. See, every word has its definition. It's not just some vague thing. Surrender, yes, I'm surrendered in my heart. But no, I'm surrendered in my heart. But just like we find so many people who say, yes, I love Krishna, but what's the symptom of your love for Krishna? Anyone can say, I love Krishna. Or I always feel Krishna in my heart. Sometimes we hear such sentimental things, but they're meaningless. Everything has to be tested by one's activities. So surrender is not just some vague term, but it has a specific meaning. So that is defined in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and you will find that quote, that verse quoted in Prabhupada's purport to chapter 18, text 66 of Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna speaks of surrender to Him. There are six symptoms of surrender. Anukalyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajanam rakshishatiti vishvaso guptridvaivaranam tata adla nikshepa karpanye sharnividha shalanagati shalanagati. That means the path of surrender. So briefly I'll just say these six symptoms are that one devotee should perform activities only which are conducive towards the development of Krishna consciousness. He should anukulyasya sankalpa. He should be firmly fixed in his determination to perform only activities which are conducive towards the development of Krishna consciousness. And pratikulyasya bhajanam. Anything which is against the development of Krishna consciousness, anything which is inhibiting that, he rejects it. Then he has firm faith that Krishna will protect him and that Krishna only is his maintainer. He doesn't go to any demigod or even his own activity. He's firmly convinced that Krishna alone will protect me. Ananyas chinti yanto mang ye jana paryapasate tesham nityabhi yukkano yoga kshemam bahama. Krishna says, one who always thinks of me, I provide everything for him. So devotee, he's not anxious. He knows Krishna will look after him. Then, Atman Nikshepa, he fully engages himself in Krishna's service with body, mind and words. And Karpanyabha means he's very humble. He doesn't become puffed up in performing devotional service. So these are the six symptoms of surrender to be cultivated.
Sir, may I ask one question, which is probably not related to today's topic. Why there are handicapped people in the world?
Yes, well, every
I am giving you one example. While coming here, I had seen a 2.5 years old boy who is wearing specs and having almost plus four.
Yeah.
So he is handicapped from life and he has not done any...
He's not done anything wrong.
Wrong. So, and why there are handicapped people...
Why are they handicapped?
...throughout one's life.
Well, everyone is handicapped to some extent or other. Everyone has to suffer some kind of disease. Everyone has to suffer death. Everyone is handicapped because the intelligence is limited. Even very intelligent person, their intelligence is limited. So everyone is handicapped to a greater or lesser extent. Are you a scientist?
I am not a scientist.
What are you doing here?
I am a doctor.
I see. See, this is a scientific institution here. So in science, it's understood that everything has a cause. Why do scientists examine? They see, How has science been developed? Because they observe phenomena and then they try to find out why that happens. Why did the apple fall? Gravity. There must be some cause. It just doesn't happen just like that. There must be some cause. Now you can't see any cause why a young boy should be handicapped, because he's never done anything wrong. But there must be some reason. Just like Einstein said, I don't believe God is playing dice with the universe. That, alright, God is flicking. Okay, this person shall be handsome, wealthy, and intelligent. And this person will be condemned, handicapped, foolish. God is not so unfair. Or even if you don't believe in God, there must be some kind of cause. But we can't see that cause. So what is the method to find out the cause? It's not within our power of circumspection. We can't find out why simply by observing. Therefore we have to find out that there must be some cause. But it is a cause that is so subtle that we cannot directly observe it. Therefore we have to take knowledge of what that cause is from those who have knowledge. Just like, I don't know why the apple falls from the tree.